Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. We'll read the first 8 verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Titus 2, 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place and in this church. God, the first institution you ever gave man was the home. And sin entered, and then you instituted the church to supplement the home. Father, thank you for our homes, but thank you for our church as well. Now be with our preacher as he tries to teach us from the Word of God how to strengthen our homes so that they may please you as this church pleases you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, we'll continue to talk some about the family. Let me remind you of something that I said last Sunday night. I preached a sermon to you that was called Jesus, a Homeowner. In that sermon, I said there's a difference in a house and a home. A house is made of brick, wood, drywalling, carpet. A home, though, is made of love, people, gentleness, kindness, instruction, and training. I said some of you need to turn the deed or the title of your home over to Jesus Christ. He ought to be your home owner. I told you that there's a way to turn your house into a home. One of the key elements is love. We read some scripture last week that spoke of that. I told you, if you want to turn your house into a home, one of the first things you need to do is you need to turn your soul over to Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you need to get saved. Lost parents won't rear good Christian children. Lost parents won't have a good Christian home. If you're not born again, you need to get saved. You ought to just get that settled and get that taken care of. But then there's something else you need to turn over to Him. If you're going to turn over your title or your deed to your home, not only do you want to turn your souls over to Him, you're going to want to, husband, you're going to need to turn your love for your wife over to Him. The Bible says husbands love their wives. You're to love your wife. And we talked about that for a while. Then we said the wife needs to turn her love for her husband over to the Lord. And you ought to love your husband the way God wants you to love your husband. So I turn my soul over to Him, and then I get born again, and the husband needs to begin to love his wife like he's supposed to, and the wife is to love her husband like she's supposed to. And then we need to see the children get involved in this. And we've got to get the children loving one another. Now, mom and dad, one of the best ways to teach your kids to love one another is that mom and dad are expressive of their love. Not all training is where you sit down at a desk and a chalkboard. Most training is by example. Oh, I preached a sermon here a year and a half ago called Training Our Children Without Training Our Children. We think you have to sit down, have a chalkboard and books to train a child. No, you're training your child every day of your life. You train your child every Sunday night by letting them see how important Sunday night church is. And they say, you know what? It must be important. My mom and dad say it's important. It must be important. I think I'll do that. And so the husband is to love the wife. The wife is to love the husband. The children are to love one another. One of the best examples of that is let the children watch mom and dad love one another. Then the parents. Dad, you ought to love your kids. And mom, you ought to love your children. And that thing called love, it's so important in our home. Now, I think we ought to turn our deed or the title of our home over to Jesus Christ. Let him become the homeowner. Now listen, if you are a single parent home and life has thrown you a curveball and you're rearing your children on your own, now you listen to everything I say. Everything may not apply to you exactly like you wish it would, but don't turn me off now. Make sure you listen to exactly what I'm teaching, because you can adapt what I'm saying to your family. Tonight, I want to continue this thought. Now, last week, Jesus, a homeowner. Tonight, I want to talk to you about how to keep your house a home. Now, we were reading earlier in the book of Titus. Now, I want to point out one little portion of the verse. We read 8 verses. The Bible talks about a woman being a keeper at home. I want to explain that to you a little better this evening so you'll understand what it means. First of all, the word keeper there, it means guard. The woman is to be a guard at home. She's the keeper at home. Now, it's not only the woman's job to be the keeper of the home, and some of you have a misconception on what it means to be a housekeeper. Actually, you're not supposed to be a housekeeper. You're supposed to be a home keeper. And there's a vast difference in a home made up of brick and wood or a house made up of brick and wood, and a home which is made up of people and relationships. And a lady, you say, I'm a housekeeper. I wish you'd change it to being a homekeeper. You ought to be more concerned about your relationships in your home than your curtains. And the Bible here talks about a woman being a keeper at home. Let me explain something to you. I will not go into all the scripture to give you a Bible passage for everything. I could, and we could take all night with it, but I'm not going to do that. Our God is what they call, or what the Bible calls, a triune God. That word tri meaning three. Our God is a three-part God. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three parts to God, but one God, just like there's three parts to an egg, but it's one egg. There's the white, there's the shell, and the yolk. If you take any part away, you don't have a full egg. If you take any part of God away, you don't have a full God, but he's only one God with three parts. Some say there's one God with three personalities. You can say it that way if you would like, but he's a three-part God. Now, the Trinity, the Godhead, as we call it, is made up of three parts, and that is an example of a family. You have God the Father, which pictures who? The Father. You have God the Son, which pictures what? The children. Well, that only leaves one person. Then I guess the Holy Spirit, or mom, is to be a picture of the Holy Spirit in the home. She's a mood setter. Mrs. Owens has a lesson that she teaches. It's called, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And the woman is a mood setter. The women in a church are a mood setter. You give me a bunch of long-tongued. Give me a bunch of long-tongued women that are in a bad mood all the time, nasty and rebellious, and you'll have a rebellious church. You ask any preacher alive. You got to watch out for the women because they set the spirit. And thank God for the kind of spirit that we have around here. But you have God the Father, which pictures Dad. You have God the Son, which pictures the children. And then you've got Mama and the Holy Spirit. Now, the word keeper here, I told you, it means to guard. She's to be a guard. The word keeper, this same word, is used throughout the Bible. In Genesis 39, verse 22, it talks about being a keeper of the prison. In 2 Kings 22, verse 14, it talks about being a keeper of the wardrobe. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 19, it talks about someone that was a keeper of the gates. Now, what did it mean? He was a keeper of the prison. In other words, he was a guard of the prison. He was a keeper of the wardrobe. In other words, he guarded or kept safe the wardrobe. He was a keeper of the gates, which meant he was a guard at the gates. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 11, it talked about someone that was a keeper of the vineyard. What was it? Someone that guarded the vineyard to make sure it was fruitful and it was not harmed. The Bible in Jeremiah 4:17 talks about the keeper of the field where there were crops. Well, what was this? It was somebody that guarded the field. Brother Young is coaching soccer. We have a soccer season here in Martinsburg Christian Academy. And we have three teams. We have the soldiers, we have the swordsmen, and the contenders. And there is a key player. He's called the goalie. Now the goalie does what? The goalie protects the goal. Does anybody know another name for goalie? Brother Tom? Keeper. Keeper. What does the goalie do? The goalie protects the goal. He's the keeper. A lady in the home is the keeper of the home. She's there to protect the atmosphere of the home. She's there to protect the spirit of the home. But he's not supposed to destroy the spirit of the home. You're to protect the spirit of the home. That's your job. And just so you know, preachers all the time used to preach about ladies being keepers at home. It's in the Bible. And we can't cut it out and throw it away. You say, well, in our society, I don't care what our society believes. I care what the Bible believes. And I know this old-fashioned, but let me tell you something. Morality's old-fashioned, too. And having children that respect mom and dad are old-fashioned, too. And marriage is staying together. That's old-fashioned, too. I seem to like old-fashioned. Especially old-fashioned cream pie. Now, let's move on. Most men think that when it talks about keeper, they want a keeper of the house. They want a keeper of the house. Men think that when the Bible talks about being a keeper at home, that in the Greek means a maid. I'm sorry, that's not what that means. Although keeping up the house is a part of the atmosphere of the house and the protecting of the spirit of the home, but when your wife is a keeper at home, that does not mean that she is your maid. I wish that weren't true. I'm going to get beat up after church, but we're not talking about the laundry, the dishes, and the ironing. That's a part of it. That's not what it all is. Biblically, God is saying you need to be a keeper at home. You're a homekeeper. Remember, there's a difference in a house and a home. Now, so this more so means she is to protect and upkeep the home, and a home is made up of people and relationships and flesh and blood and heart and gentleness and kindness and goodness and all of those things. Now, here's the thing. You say, the men say, well, where do I come in? Men are to establish in the home with the wife is to be keeper of. And I know that's bad English, but it's the only way I can figure to say it right now. I ended the sentence with a preposition, right, Brother Bush? Okay, I'm sorry. Men are to establish what the wife is to be the protector of. The man establishes what God wants in the home, and then the wife, because she's there most, she is the guard or the keeper of what he has established. So many men say, I want you to keep her at home, but he's not established anything for her to keep. He has established a house, wood, bricks, drywall, carpet, but he's not established a home, proper godly relationships, and God's word being lived there. Man establishes what the woman keeps safe. So, men are to establish what the woman is to keep or to protect. Now, tonight, I'm going to give you some guidelines, some things that will help you men to establish certain things in your home, and then your wife can help to protect those things in your home. But then once again, some men never help to establish the right atmosphere in the home. They then demand that their wife keep something that does not exist. And some men feel like their wives are failing at being good keepers at home, but actually they're succeeding at being a keeper of a house, but not a keeper of a home, because a man never established it into a home. It's just a place where we live. We're going to turn your house into a home, and then we want the ladies to be home keepers. You're to guard the atmosphere. But we've got to decide what will establish the atmosphere. What gives us what we're looking for in our homes? I have, in the next three Sunday nights, I'm going to give you about 23, maybe 25 or 26 principles. I'll give you about a third of them tonight, and then the next couple Sunday nights, I'm going to tell you about some things that you need to get in your home. Men, I want to help you. I want to tell you some things that ought to be happening in your home, then wives, you're to protect that. And ladies, when your husband tries to establish a godly home, don't fight it. You're to keep what he establishes as the right kind of things in your home. And ladies, you're gonna like this more than what you think. Now, you're a team, and the reason why God talks about the woman being the keeper at home is because the woman is there the most. So the man, he says, honey, this is what we're going to do. This is how our home ought to run. He goes off to work, and while he's away, mom doesn't have to make all the decisions. She merely does what the God of the home, if you will, or what the man had said to be done. Men, you're supposed to help your wife with the guidelines so she knows how to have the right kind of home. And then while you're away, she merely does what you have helped her to establish, and she protects it. Too many times, men are leaving it up to the women to come up with the guidelines for the home. And that's not so. It's not supposed to be that way. The man, with God's help, establishes how the home should run. He walks away to go to work, and the wife says, I will now be the keeper at home. Keeping what? It's not just talking about doing the laundry. It's talking about, now I will keep in order what my husband and I have decided the way that we want our family to run. And that's what it means to be a keeper at home. Now, I'm going to give you some things that will help you. Hey, if you want to turn your house into home, you do this. You want to increase your home value. Notice I didn't say house value. The people working harder to increase the value of the brick, the mortar, and the drywall than they're working to increase the value of their relationships and their children and their Christianity and God influencing their home. You're increasing the value of the wrong thing. Stop worrying about how much your house is worth and start getting concerned about the value of your home. Let's raise your property value. And the most important property you have is your family, not your acreage. Let's raise the property value in the homes of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, because our church will be no stronger than our homes. I'm going to give you some very practical things now. And I want to teach you some things about what you can do to make your house a home and to keep it that way. Number one, you ought to eat at least one meal together every day as a family. Eat one meal together every day as a family. Well, we're too busy. Then you're too busy. Boy, you ought to virtually insist on it. Virtually insist on it. I know emergencies come, but listen. When the family's to the point that they don't eat together, there's some problem. Things are just out of balance. That I'm talking about where everybody in the house attends. This really isn't odd. It's a very good thing. America had better slow down and figure out what's important. We got to work because we're worried about retirement. And we're working 20 hours a day, me and my wife. I'm going to tell you something. You'll have a better retirement if your kids rise up and call you blessed when you're a grandma and grandpa than having a bunch of bucks in the bank. You have a bunch of money and your family will be a rotten mess and you'll cry yourself to sleep at night because you're more concerned about money than your family. Slow down and eat a meal together. It won't hurt you. You say, well, I'm not hungry. Then sit and watch everybody else eat. And I'm talking about at your house. Not running out of McDonald's real quick. At your table. Where you look at each other. And you watch each other belch and chew. You need to take this time. You need to all slow down. Everybody gathers around the family table. You pray together. In our home, when our children were small, I think really up until just a couple years ago, we all joined hands around the table when we prayed. You might think that's silly. We were a family. We were a family. We knew we needed to slow everything down a little bit. Folks, you listen to me. Those kids are going to grow up so fast, you're not going to believe it. They're going to grow up so fast and they'll leave home and some of you are going to either say, thank God I took the time for them, or would to God I had. Hey, they have a tendency to break your heart no matter how hard you try, but some of you need to try harder. Try harder. You know what you could do while you're there? Talk. Converse. where dad talks to his son and everyone listens. And then mom talks to her daughter. And mom and dad talk to one another. And the children ask mom and dad questions. And we're all sitting there, and we're not in a hurry to go turn the TV on. We're a family. Well, why'd you get married? Why'd you get married? Why'd you have kids? So you could rush through supper to go watch TV, burn your brain out? I'm saying if you want your home to be the right kind of home, we need to slow it down and we need to have at least one meal a day. Listen to this. When America was rural, everybody lived in the country, you ate breakfast together, you ate lunch together, you ate supper together. All three meals. And if dad were in the field with the kids, mom often would come out in the field, bring a picnic. If you were bailing, hey, mom would come out and bring some lemonade and everybody would slow down long enough to eat a meal together. And today, if you get one meal a week, it's an amazing thing. And back then, you still had families. Now we have a bunch of homes. Somebody said to me, there are homes going up all over this county. I said, no, there are not. There are houses going up. Eat a meal together. You say, well, Brother Owens, we work different shifts and we can't do that. Then let me warn you, as soon as you can, get on the same shift. He said, boy, that's a heavy thing to advise. I know, but I'm going to say it. As soon as you can, get on the same shift. This thing of mama working all day and dad working all night and never having any time together. Why did you get married? Why are you having a family? And I'm not mad at you. I'm not here saying, you're sinning because of what you're doing. I'm saying, listen, work it out so you can have a family. We got to pay for the boat. Sell it. I'd rather sell a boat that I can enjoy every once in a while and enjoy my family all the time. Eat a meal. Spend some time together. You know, a man requested, his wife said, how long until supper? She said, well, can't you see? I'm busy reading a book, How to Better Our Marriage. You know, that's almost the way we are. You know, the Bible talks about the Last Supper, and the Bible talks about the Lord's Supper. Do you know why those are big things? Because it was a picture of a family of people coming together. You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to sit down with Jesus and have a meal. Why? Because He's our daddy and we're His children. We're going to sit down and take some time. We're going to spend all eternity talking about the things of the family. For some of you, you're going to get there for the meal and you're going to say, there's something on TV. Come on, you guys. And you'll find out there won't be no Hollywood up there. So, I say eat at least one meal together a day as a family. You may have to work at it. You may have to get up a little bit early and have breakfast. You may have to wait just a touch later than what you want to and have your evening meal together. But I would beg of you that you do that. It'll help your home. Or you can continue to live in a house. I think you want a home. Secondly, decorate your house in a livable way. Decorate your house in a livable way. Most people's great concern is their house, not their home. Did you know that furniture can be replaced, but family cannot? May I say to you, did you know that your furniture, if you have children, will probably get bumped, soiled, and it may get dirty? And then there's some of you mothers. Oh, you walked on the floor! Your children are going to be deranged if they can't walk on the floor. On what should they walk, mother? The furniture? Oh, you'll kill them for that. Did you know your kids are supposed to live in your house? Are they afraid to come home from school because they may have germs? Accept the fact some things may get dirty if you have children. Let your home live in your house. Let your home live in your house. Your house is not for everyone else. Your house is for your family. But so many people in America today, they want their house to look good to the neighbors. They want their house to look good to visitors. Well, I want my house to be for my home. It's for my family. I'm
sorry, Brother Jones, where you at?
I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses.
And in this case, keep down with the Joneses.
Everybody wants this great big fancy house and a big fancy yard, and I'm not against that, as long as you let the people that live in there actually live in there. Decorate your home in a livable way. You know, if you'll train your children right, they won't tear as much up, but they're still going to tear something up. It's just going to happen. I'm sorry. But train the children. You can even train your husband, even if he's not house broke. It can be done. But I tell you what, we're so caught into the house. I'm talking to you about the home. Be concerned about the children and them feeling comfortable at home. You know, kids come home and you want to put them in a little plastic suit.
Now, don't touch anything.
Everything in the house is wrapped in plastic. Why? Why didn't you just buy a blow-up couch? You like plastic so much. Some love their furniture more than they love their family. Ladies hug their lazy boys. I'm not talking about your husband now. I'll give you a little advice to you young couples. I'll tell you what Mrs. Owens and I did. We had four children. We wanted kids. We had fun with them. We had a great time. We goofed off. Me and my boys wrestled on the floor. And every once in a while, we bumped things. But we had fun. Mrs. Owens and I made this a conscious decision. When we were younger and when our kids were little, we said, we're going to buy a bunch of new furniture because we know the kids will soil it. We're going to rear our kids a little while, do without some new stuff, and later on we'll get some new furniture. I guess it's been probably 6 or 7 years ago we started buying some newer furniture. Why? Well, I wanted a home, not a house. I want my kids to come home and have fun. I didn't want everything so everybody's scared to death to set on things or touch anything. Now, if you and your husband are alone and you enjoy that, that's okay. But for those of you that have children, I don't know of any child that enjoys that. They don't enjoy that. Wait until later in life and get you some nicer things. So you've got those that their house is more important, the curtain's more important, the furniture's more important than the family. And then you got those that won't even clean their house. Clean up your house. Christians are supposed to be clean people. The cleanest people in this county ought to be the people sitting in this church. Clean your house. It will become more like a home if you do. See, you have two extremes. You have the untouchable clean, and then you have the untouched, never cleaned. I remember my wife, she told me one day, she said, honey, one of the kids said something to me today that meant the world to me. She said, one of the kids said to her, Mom, I'm glad I'm never embarrassed to bring my friends to our house. Can I tell you something? If your house isn't clean, when your kids bring friends home, they will be embarrassed of you. So they shouldn't be embarrassed. You ought to clean your house. This is really tough preaching. This is far tougher than what you guys think. There are women out there that are smiling, but on the inside, they're not. But you don't know what I'm thinking about you either. Ha ha. She said, one of the kids had said, Mom, I'm glad that I can bring people to our house. We can have a good time. I'm never embarrassed to bring them home. And then she said, the same child said, and I'm also not embarrassed the way you and Mom take care of yourselves. You're clean. You're decent. We're not embarrassed to be seen with you. You would be shocked at how many young people are embarrassed the way their mom and dad take care of themselves and embarrassed of their own home because it's not kept clean.
Now, Christians ought to be clean people. So decorate your home in a livable way. When you get a little older and when the children leave home, well, get you some nicer things. You deserve it. I want you to have it. But those of you that have young people, if you have teenagers and children, why don't you let them live there? Let them live there. Let them enjoy it. As they get older, you'll get nicer things. So I say, number one, I think you ought to have one meal together a day, at least. If you can have more, you ought to have more. Number two, I think you ought to make your house livable so people can live in it. Number three, I think you ought to have family projects and do things together as a family. Do things together. You know where children, do you know where children are supposed to learn teamwork? They're not supposed to learn it in a secular baseball league. They're supposed to learn it from mom and dad at home. You can learn it a lot of places. I'm not saying you can't learn it playing secular baseball, but you ought to be learning it by being a team with mom and dad at home. We work together as a team. But you know what we want? We want to go make all the money we can and ship our kids to someone else to teach them what we're supposed to be teaching them at home. Do things together. Work on the house together. Working on the house together builds your home. Doing projects together. I can remember when my wife and I, the very first house we bought, it was a two-bedroom home and we had four children. It's because it's what we could afford. It wasn't what we always dreamed of. It's not what we always wanted. It's what we could afford. We always buy what we can afford. And by the way, not what the bank tells us we can borrow. Oh, you can borrow $300,000. Oh, good. But you can't make the payment, sucker. But that's okay. We don't care about you. That's what the bank says. So we bought what we could afford. We bought a two-bedroom home. But it had a big attic. And me and my boys turned that attic into the boys, they got one bedroom. Mrs. Owens and I got another. And we turned the attic into a dollhouse for my daughters when she was real little. And I mean, it was a dollhouse. If you've seen it, it was something. But me and the boys, we did all the work together. Now, I could have hired someone, me and a couple of other men. We could have got it done so much faster. But me and the boys did it all. We did every bit of it together. And it was great. We smashed our fingers together. We made mistakes together. We drywalled together. We painted together. We did it all together. And it was quite a dollhouse. It was beautiful. We'll never forget that project. Never. One of the kids said to my wife, said, honey, no, said, mama, I call her honey, said, mama, it's just not fair. Everybody's got a room of their own but you. You have to sleep with dad. Felt sorry for me because mom didn't have her own room. But do things together as a family. America used to be like this. Again, back when we were rural, everybody helped on the farm together. Everybody worked together. They learned to bale hay. They learned to milk the cows. They learned to take care of the yard. We came to the city. We don't have time for our families anymore. We don't have time. Do yard work together. See, we don't have a yard. Come to our house with your family and do our yard. Plant a garden together. Plant some flowers together. Now, some of this is so simple, but let me ask you, when was the last time you did anything like that with your family? When the kids, they just mess everything up. No wonder your kids are so tense. Can't a family plant a garden together without killing each other? Slow down. Have a family. Isn't that what you got in this for? You didn't you want to have a family? We decorate for the holidays together. Provide things for the family to do. You know, it might even take some think time. Mom and Dad, you might need to sit down and have a cup of coffee and say, what are some things that we could do together? Use some ingenuity. Hey, don't always buy toys. Make some. Make some. I remember my boys, they kept telling me, Dad, we need a fort. Every boy wants a fort because they've got army in their blood. But a fort. I couldn't afford to go out and buy something, so I got some old skids, some old crates. I drug them home from work. Boy, we put those things together, and we built us a fort. It's still standing. And I'm talking about, I guess, 16 years ago, we built that thing. It's there forever. I'm leaving it to Brother Bush after the rapture. I'm going to let him have it. But we built a fort. But we built it together. We did some things together. And so you need some family projects. I was thinking, there's some families here in our church, and I know husbands and wives, their children are gone, and they have nice homes. I'm glad for them, and they work in their yard together all the time. Boy, that's good for your marriage. Boy, that's good for your marriage. Doing things together, sharing things together. I remember when one little house that we had, the back lot was a mess. I mean, there were trees and things growing up everywhere. Well, my boys wanted a place to play some baseball. They didn't want a whole field. They just wanted a place to play some baseball and some soccer. There were big mounds of dirt, and it was uneven. And so I went out there and said, okay, fellas, you want a place to play, then we're going to have to clear this. I mean, trees and everything. Well, at first it sounded like a good idea. Okay, Dad. Then they found out. After about 2 weeks, this wasn't going as smooth as what they thought. The neighbor came over. He had some power equipment. He said, I could clear that for you in an hour. My boys looked at me and I said, nah, let's do it together. And we did. And we had more fun playing on the field that we cleared than the field that somebody else would have cleared for us. Because there was a little more to the work character building than the play that would come. Do some things together. And I'm going to tell you something. There are kids in the Christian school that are not good for your kids. They need your family. The best friendships in the world ought to be within the home. Mom and dad ought to be friends. Brothers and sisters ought to be friends. The kids ought to be friends to mom. The kids ought to be friends to dad, and dad and mom to the kids. Because I'm telling you something. Even in a Christian school, there are young people that don't care about God. It's sad. Say, well, what will help my child be safe in a Christian school if there are corrupt people? Be so close to mom and dad and Jesus that they'll be okay because they have best friendships at home. And so, how do you keep your house at home? Well, you eat at least one meal together a day. You decorate your home when your children are young and at home in a livable way. Do family projects together. By the way, I think we have a lot of lazy people today. I'm not talking about lazy at work. I'm not even talking about lazy about taking care of your house. I'm talking about lazy in regard to relationships in your home. It takes work to play with your son. You have to plan it. It takes time. It will keep you from doing something else. Moms need to play house with their daughters. You need to take the time to do it. When your daughter, teach your daughter how to have a tea party and sit down and have some tea. And let her put her doll there and teach her how to take care of her doll. Well, that's playing. I've got more important things to do. If everything in life is more important to you than people, you're a sad Christian. I would rather live in a trashy house and have a wonderful home relationship than have a mansion and have trashy relationships. You know, kids are not a short-term loan. They're a long-term investment. And it takes work. And we're lazy because we don't want to pay the price of rearing good kids. I think, number four, you ought to establish a weekly family night or have a family time. For many, many years, mine was a Monday and a Monday night. I still take Mondays when I'm in town. We often take a Saturday afternoon. My daughter and I, we were on the way home from school on Friday. She said, Daddy, let's take a four-wheeler ride. We have a four-wheeler out at our house, and we did, and we had a lot of fun. We got on that four-wheeler, and we took off. She said, I never go up on that hill. That's scary. I said, then let's go up on that hill. Well, we took off up on that hill. She said, Daddy, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be killed. Am I going to be okay? I said, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about a thing. But well, we had a good time. She said, hey, let's cook some stuff on the grill and set on the porch tonight. You know what we did last night? We cooked on the grill. We sat on the porch probably, what, girls, 2 hours? We just sat out there under the stars. talking. We had a good time. We're too busy for that, though, aren't we? We got a good house. I've got me a house. The American dream, a house. Do you have the Christian dream? A home? A home? Have a family time weekly. Play some games. Get some table games and play them. We have a game called, is it called Catchphrase? Is that what it's called, Charlotta? I love that game. I win at it a lot. I like any game that I can win at. I don't like playing things that I get beat at. Hey, on your family time, do something special with food. Have Chinese food and play Chinese checkers. Figure out something. Have a good time. My boys were growing up. Boy, we played basketball together, and we loved it. We played ball together. You know, your children and your family do not have to have you all the time if they know that they have you at some time. All your family needs is to know that you're all going to slow down long enough to have a family time. We're all scattered, going in our different ways. You know, Dad's got a career, Mom's got a career. Who cares what the kids are doing? I've got an email on my email from Owens Publications at home right now. It says, my children are a mess. Said, they were in the Christian school, so I figured they were all fine. I thought they were good kids, so they've been on the internet. They built some bad friendships. They got a filthy thing going on. And the parents said, we have been too busy to realize our kids were a mess. Then we get so busy, we don't realize what's really happening with our children. They don't have to have you all the time as long as they know that they have you at some time. I was on my way home from church yesterday afternoon. I'd canceled until mid-afternoon, and I stopped by Bill and Holly Stanley's. Where you at, Bill? Are you here? Oh, in the choir. I stopped by Bill and Holly Stanley's, and I teased Bill. I took him two bottles of root beer. I stopped by and knocked on the door, and I said, is Bill here? I brought him some beer. It's a hot day. Holly said, no, he's at work. I said, well, here, when he gets home from work, we can cool him down with a cup of some suds here. And I gave him some Mug's root beer. I was so pleased. Holly told me, she said, Brother Owens, when Bill got home, the family all had root beer floats together, and we just sat there and enjoyed it. You know what I like about it? Where you at, Holly? You know what I like about it? It took effort on Mama's part to make a root beer float. Anybody can pour up a cup of pop. Some mama said, let's have some fun. Let's slow down long enough to do something that would be fun and different and take a little energy and a little time. And I heard that Bill was drinking everybody's. He wanted to share with the kids. Give your family a time to look forward to. I'm not talking about TV. Everybody sits in the same room, but you're not together when you're watching TV. The television is destroying our homes. Listen, times have changed. Your mother used to sit and sew a while listening to the radio. Our socks were darned, our buttons tight. Neatly, she mended every night. Now two buttons off Dad's shirt I see, for who can sew and watch TV? You know what we do? We work all the time, then go home, and we sit in front of something to entertain us, and our families are a mess. We're living in houses, not homes. I would recommend one thing. Oh, I've got a lot to recommend, and we'll get to more later. If you want to keep your house a home, then this is what needs to happen. Dad, you need to take a spiritual lead, and you need to say, I want to have a spiritual home. My wife and I will work together, and we'll lead our family to have a spiritual home. And then Dad lets Mom be the keeper. And what that means is she protects the atmosphere. So what we're talking about is, Dad, you establish some of these things. And then the wife says, I'll help protect that. I'll keep a good spirit about those things. I'll get the whole family involved in those things. Hey, we're going to do some things. We're going to sit down and eat a meal together. Mom says, I'm going to make sure it happens. I want it to be good. I want it to be exciting. And I'm going to make sure that we all get to live in this house. I'll make sure that we can enjoy it. We're going to have some family projects together. And Mom keeps a real good attitude about it. She protects the spirit of the thing. She doesn't fight Dad. Hey, Dad ought to be leading the home spiritually. And I don't mean he walks around with a big stick beating everybody on top of the head, demanding, I'm the man here. I mean he loves, remember last week, he loves his wife so much and loves his kids so much. They want to follow a spiritual dad. And mom says, I'm in. We're going to have a good time with this. I want this to be good. I want us to enjoy this. She becomes the keeper at home. She has to have something to keep before she can keep it. We're not talking about washing the dishes now, though that's a part of it. We're talking about the atmosphere that has been established to keep your house a home. They work together to establish it. Mom is their most. She's also the Holy Spirit of the home, so she guards it. And the old devil, he kicks the soccer ball, and he's going to try to score a goal on your family and hurt your family. He kicks, and mom says, wait a minute. I'm protecting my home. She deflects the shot from the devil. And she protects the spirit of her home. That's what it means by being a keeper at home. Men, give her something to keep. Give her something to keep. Then pull together and keep it. And you won't be sorry that you did. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We'll have a brief invitation.